Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For this week's program on the RTC Weekly Download, I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Now we're off to the Double Bar R Ranch for the Roy Rogers Show. So it's back to February 26th, 1953, and the story of the checkered handkerchief.
It's the Roy Rogers Show.
Happy trails to you. It's nice to meet again. Happy trails to you. Until the journey's end.
Oh, Sugar Crisp, the cereal treat that's fun to eat, brings you the Roy Rogers Show. Transcribed on the Double R Bar Ranch with Pat Brady and the Queen of the West, Dale Evans.
Happy trails to you. Time to ride again.
And here he is, in person, the King of the Cowboys, Roy Rogers.
Well, howdy, folks. Here's my good word for today. It's about a honey of a new cereal, Post Sugar Crisp. And it's my hunch you'll like it just as much as we do out here at the Double R Bar Ranch. You see, Post Sugar Crisp is just downright good eating. And it's good so many different ways. Try it real soon, won't you? Now, here's our story, Checkered Neckerchief.
Mineral City is a whistle stop. Now, a whistle stop doesn't really have anything to do with politics. It's a place where the train doesn't stop unless it has passengers to discharge. And when it does, it signals with a whistle. Today, Roy Rogers and Pat Brady and the sheriff are at the railroad station waiting for...
Hey, there's a whistle, Roy. She's gonna stop, all right.
Well, sure, Pat. Young Ted and the sheriff's new deputy can't very well jump off.
Roy, my Uncle Fred used to have a saying, this is killing two birds with one stone. You might say that's what we're doing today, huh?
Sure, it's fine that your new man could bring Ted in from the city.
I'm afraid I'm getting the best of the bargain, Roy. I'm getting a graduate from a college of criminology, and you're getting nothing but a juvenile delinquent.
Oh, you lay off that kid, Sheriff. He may have been in a lot of trouble, but he's no criminal.
That's right. We know he was keeping bad company, but I think living on the ranch for a while will straighten him out a lot faster than a reform school would.
And, Sheriff, I don't think I'd hire a deputy without at least talking to him first. What's his name, Joe Linder?
You say something about a cinder?
What's as dry as a tinder?
Hey, you fellas better continue the discussion after the train stops. Hey. That must be Ted and your deputy, Sheriff. At least they're the only two people getting off the train.
Hey, he ain't a bad-looking kid. Kind of scrawny, but we'll fatten him up.
Come on.
Linda's a real sharp-looking young chap. I'll bet he'll do my department a lot of good.
Linder? Well, I thought you said his name was Kinder.
Well, hi there, Ted. I'm Roy Rogers, and this is my sidekick, Pat Brady.
Ted, we're mighty glad to have you in Paradise Valley.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Mr. Linder, I'm the sheriff. By George, welcome to Mineral City. This is Roy Rogers and Pat Brady.
How are you, Sheriff?
Howdy.
Well, I brought this one in safely.
Come on, Ted, and shake hands.
How am I going to do that?
Hey, what's the idea of handcuffing this youngster to yourself, Linder?
I wasn't taking any chances on the young punk doing a runout.
Well, caterwauling catamounts. Is that the kind of nonsense they teach you at criminal whichamological weather college?
Say, unlock these handcuffs right now.
Look, fella, don't talk to me like that.
Better take the cuffs off the kid, Joe. After all, he's in Roger's custody now, and we don't want to get off on the wrong foot.
Well, all right, but... There you are, kid.
That's better. Now, put her there, Ted.
If you say so, and thanks, Mr. Rogers.
It's just Roy, Ted.
Yeah, and I'm just Pat. My Jeep over there is just Nellie Belt. Come on, let's get started for the ranch.
Maybe we better stop in town first and get you some jeans and shirts and boots and stuff like that.
Yeah, you'll feel much better on the ranch when you shed those city duds.
Joe, I'll drive you in and introduce you to some of the folks. See you later, Roy.
Pat. Okay, sir.
Ted.
Yeah, so long, Rogers. And good luck with that little burglar.
Ah, you big monkey.
Take it easy, Ted.
Oh, so I broke into a couple of stores. I didn't get away with anything.
We know the whole story, and the quicker we all forget it, the more fun we're going to have.
Sure. You may have gotten in with kind of a rough bunch in the city, but you won't miss them a bit once you get to knocking around with horses and the cattle and the dogs and Nellie Bell.
You really have horses out there, huh?
We sure have. Do you like to ride?
I've never tried it, but I know one thing. The prettiest thing in the whole world is a good horse.
Hey, Ted, you and I think just alike. Come on, let's get in and buy you that outfit. Say, you look great, Ted.
Here you are, young man. Will there be anything else?
I guess Ted's pretty well fixed up. See anything else you need, Ted?
No, Roy. Except...
Ted, I'm looking at the very same thing. Oh, them blue and white checkered neckerchiefs are really fancy, ain't they?
Hey, we forgot neckerchiefs.
These are the very newest thing.
You like that design, Ted?
Man, those are real crazy. I mean, they're real George. I mean, yeah, I sure do.
Well, swell. Let's have a half a dozen of those George ones.
Fine, I'll just put them in the bag with the other things, young man.
I better keep one out. I'll put it on right now.
Here, I'll carry the package for you while you adjust it, Ted.
Well, so long, Mr. Kent. Put those things on my bill, okay?
Of course, Roy.
Ted, the Eureka Cafe is just a couple of doors down the street, and I want you to meet my friend, Dale Evans.
Yeah, you like the Eureka, Ted, especially when I'm doing the cooking.
Gosh, it's hard to get used to walking in these boots.
Now, what's the matter, kid? You got tacks in your boots?
Oh, it's that Ed Stratton's kid in his convertible.
Wow, pure yellow.
Hi there, Brian. This is Ted Barnes. Ted, Brian Stratton.
Howdy.
Oh, I heard you were coming to town. Don't bother to come over and shake hands. I don't think you can walk that far.
Hey, now, look out, Brian.
Dad told me all about that guy, Roy. And I know too many people already.
Well, come on, Ted.
Well, how do you like that spoiled young muzzler?
Looks like everybody around here's heard about me.
They're going to be hearing good things from now on. Don't you worry about it.
This hamburger's real cool, Miss Evans.
Oh, I'll be glad to heat it over for you, Ted, but... Oh, you mean you like it.
Sure.
We're going to have to get used to the new language around here, Dave.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, quit apologizing, Ted. You talk the way you want to.
Say, from what you've seen of Paradise Valley so far, do you think you're going to like it, Ted?
I haven't seen much of it yet, but I sure like some of the people.
Anybody want anything else while I still got my apron on?
Another hamburger, Ted?
I guess I could eat another.
Man, once the ranch air gets to working on your appetite, we're going to have to raise extra cattle to keep you filled up.
One with onions, pickle, mustard, relish, tomato, and pork chops coming right up.
Well, who's this with the sheriff, Roy?
Where? Oh, that's his new deputy.
Yes, you came out from the city with him, didn't you, Ted?
Now, watch it, Ted.
Just making the rounds, Dale, introducing Joe Linda to all the citizens. Miss Evans, may I present Joe? Mr. Linda, this is Dale.
How do you do?
And these other folks are... Oh, you've met, haven't you?
Sure we have, Sheriff.
Won't you sit down and have some coffee?
I was hoping you'd ask us that.
Let's sit at the other end of the counter, Sheriff.
Say, we're having a rush. Hi there, Brian. What can we do for you?
Oh, a Coke or something. I just stopped in to see if Roy's stumble-bum friend got his feet untacked yet.
Why, you lousy little rat...
Me, will you, you dirty thief?
Don't call me that.
Hey, you kid, cut it out.
I'll stop him, Sheriff Barnes, you punk jailbird.
Cut it, Linder. I'll stop them. Get back here now. This is no place for that sort of thing, Ted.
But he called me a...
People are going to be mighty careful what they call you from now on. Remember that, Brian, and you remember too, Linder.
Brian, I think you'd better run along until you cool off.
Yeah, I was going anyway. But I'll tell you one thing, Ted, or whatever your name is. I'll get even with you.
Back
with Roy in a jiffy. Right now, let's chat with his three pals, Handy, Dandy, and Candy, the honey bears on the front of every Sugar Crisp package. Hi, what are you carrying?
Oh, Sugar Crisp! We love it!
Everybody does, because Sugar Crisp is the cereal treat that's fun to eat. Nothing like it. Sugar Crisp is nourishing puffed wheat with a tantalizing sugar and honey coating. Mighty grand eating three different ways, right?
It sure is. As a cereal, it's dandy. Just sweet enough.
No sugar needed. Sugar Crisp is wonderful with just milk or cream.
And it's dandy for snacks whenever you're hungry.
Yes, Sugar Crisp is always good, day or night.
Or eat it like candy, right out of the box. You can't stop nibbling Sugar Crisp.
No wonder folks rave about this honey of a cereal. It's extra good three different ways and always gives plenty of quick food energy. So mind what the Sugar Crisp bears say.
As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. Post Sugar Crisp.
Genuine Post Sugar Crisp comes in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on front. Buy Sugar Crisp tomorrow.
Roy Rogers offers a ranch home to young Ted Barnes, who has been in trouble with big city authorities. And after a rather inauspicious first day in Paradise Valley, things seem to be much brighter to Ted. For life on the Double R Bar Ranch is proving to be the life for him.
Attaboy, Ted, stick with him!
Hey, that kid's a wonderful hand with a horse, ain't he? He's a natural, Pat.
Steady there, Clipper. Easy, boy, easy. Oh there, Clipper. How was that, Roy?
Boy, that was tops, Ted. I've never saddle broke and gentled a 2-year-old any quicker myself.
This Clipper's gonna be a great horse.
You bet he is. And now he's got a great master. He's yours, Ted.
Mine? You kidding?
Of course Roy ain't kidding.
Oh, gosh, Roy. Thanks. Oh, boy, Clipper. How George can things get?
Well, that's the last staple. We'll have to go back to the tool shed and get some more.
Clipper and I'll do it, Roy. You and Pat sit down and relax for a minute.
All right.
Hi there, Clipper.
Hey, look at him leap on that horse.
Ted's not going to be a cowboy. He's going to be a circus rider.
Hop, you Clipper boy. Go!
Roy, it beats all. When that kid got off the train 6 weeks ago, why, he wouldn't even look you in the eye.
I don't think there's any such thing as a bad youngster, Pat. Not if they have a chance to be something else.
The old sheriff wasn't quite as lucky as we were. Joe Linder may be a college-type lawman, but he hasn't done much to stop crime around the valley. 2 burglaries in Mineral City and 1 in Hollow Wells in the last month.
Yeah, there was another one last night, too. Somebody broke into the co-op office at Terminal.
What? No kidding.
That's what the sheriff told me on the phone this morning.
Well, looks like he's coming out to finish the conversation in person.
Sure enough. It's the sheriff and Joe. They must have been in Terminal investigating.
Over there, Lou. Oh,
howdy, Lou. Sheriff.
Hey.
Joe.
Hey.
Hello, Rogers.
Me and Joe's been to Terminal, Roy. Fella got better than $400 out of the cash drawer.
What do you mean, the fella? Do you know who he was?
You bet we do.
Well, now, Joe. Roy, where's Ted?
He just rode over to get some more staples. He'll be right back, though. Why?
I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to grill him about that robbery last night.
What?
What?
Why, Sheriff, that's silly. You know Ted's been as straight as these fence posts since he got here.
And don't you go grilling him.
I'm afraid the kid got careless last night, Roy. Or maybe you know someone else around town who wears blue and white checked kerchiefs like this.
Hey, that does look like one of Ted's.
Yes, but
well,
there's not.
We'll soon find out.
You mean the punk's got the gall to try to brazen this out?
Ho, Clipper. Here's the staples, Roy.
Thanks.
Easy there, Clipper boy. Well, hi there, Sheriff.
Hi.
Mr. Linder.
Hey, Ted, I guess the sheriff wants to talk to you.
Sure. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, Ted...
Is this your kerchief, Barnes?
Gee, it looks like one of mine. Sure. Sure it is.
All right, where were you last night?
Now, let's not be ridiculous. Ted was in bed pounding his ear.
Well, as a matter of fact, I wasn't, Pat.
What?
No. The moon started shining in my window, and I got to thinking that Clipper and I had never seen how the mountains look in the moonlight. So I got up and saddled him, and we took a nice long ride. I got back about 4 this morning.
Was anyone with you?
No, just me and Clipper.
Well, Sheriff, I guess that about locks it up.
Ted, did you ride into Terminal last night?
No, I... Hey, what's this all about?
You know what it's about. Don't try that.
Cut it, Lender. Ted, there was a burglary in Terminal last night. Did you have anything to do with it?
Roy, You know darn well I didn't. Don't you?
Well, that's good enough for me, Ted.
For me, too.
You admitted this was your neckerchief. How come it was found in the co-op in Terminal if you weren't there?
That's something I'm afraid you'll have to answer, Ted.
Maybe Ted can answer it, Sheriff. And before he even tries, I want you to let me look into this thing.
Well,
we better lock the punk up while Sherlock Holmes here does his looking.
I don't think that's necessary. Sheriff, will you let Ted stay here if Pat stays with him?
Well, I've known both two fellas a long time. Will you give me your word you won't let him out of your sight, Pat?
Oh, of course I will.
All right, then. You can have a few hours. We better be getting back to the office, Joe, and check the report.
You're making a mistake, Sheriff. And I think with my training, I ought to have some authority around here. Come on, then.
I don't mind telling you, Roy. This looks bad.
Roy, I didn't do it. Why can't that guy leave me alone?
I don't know why Leonard's got it in for you, Ted, but the first thing I'm going to do is to go in town and talk to the man in the clothing store. Here, Trigger. Come over here, fella.
Talk to the man in the clothing store?
Yep. Ted didn't buy all the checkered neckerchiefs in the place, and I'm going to find out who did.
Come on, Trigger. Let's go.
Here you are, Miss Evans. Will that cover it?
Wow, I can't change a 50, Brian. Pay me next time you come in.
Okay.
And you think it over, won't you? Ted's a fine boy, and if you wanted to forget that fight, I don't think he'd ask for an apology.
Yeah, but look, with his background,
that's a lot of rot. Your folks may have a lot of money, but that hasn't anything to do with basic decency.
Well, you
howdy,
can...
Dale.
Hello, Brian.
I'm glad I found you here. I couldn't miss that yellow convertible.
No, I guess you couldn't.
I'm going to come to the point fast, Brian. Do you have any neckerchiefs like this one?
No.
I don't know anybody but Ted who'd wear a loud number like that. Although you're a pretty cool flash at times yourself, Brian.
You sure, Brian?
Yeah. Why?
Because Mr. Kent says the only people he remembers selling this design to are you and Ted Barnes.
Roy, what's the matter?
Hey, wait. Wait a minute, Roy. Kent's right. I did buy some like that. It was just a day or two after... Well, after the day Ted got in town.
Okay, then I'm going to ask you to help Ted out of a jam.
But I never wore any of those darn things. I'm sure of that.
What do you mean?
Well, I left the package in my car and sort of forgot it. Gee, I don't know. I've never seen him since.
All right, Brian, that's your story. But why don't you go home and think it over for a while?
Sure, Roy, I'll go home, but I don't know what in heck you're talking about.
Roy, what in the world's going on?
Oh, that kid... I don't know if he's lying or if he's really mixed up. Dale, the sheriff and Linder stopped at the ranch just now, and they were accusing Ted. I know that too, Dale, but a kid from a home like Brian Stratton's, well, he said he'd get even with Ted. And if he tried to give you a $50
Roy,
bill...
I'm sure Ted's not guilty, and I don't think Brian is either. Maybe he is spoiled, and maybe a little wild, but he...
Roy! Dale, you seen the sheriff?
Well, I saw him a little while ago, but...
We gotta find him. We gotta organize a posse. The bank's been robbed.
The bank's been robbed?
Yes, by young Brian Stratton.
Oh, no.
Brian Stratton?
Sure. He had a mask over his face, but do you know anybody else in town with a bright yellow convertible?
Dale, saddle Buttermilk and meet me at the bank as fast as you can.
Back to Roy in a jiffy. Right now, the three Sugar Crisp Bears.
We're the Sugar Crisp Bears, and we want you to meet the grandest treat you ever did eat.
Post Sugar Crisp. Boom,
boom, boom. As a cereal, it's dandy. For snacks, it's so handy. Or eat it like candy. Post Sugar Crisp.
The Sugar Crisp Bears are smart little critters because Post Sugar Crisp has a really different and delicious flavor. You see, Sugar Crisp is wholesome, nourishing puffed wheat coated with energy-rich honey and sugar. It's a wonderful treat as cereal, already sweetened. You don't need sugar. Just add milk or cream. And Sugar Crisp is swell for between-meal snacks, too. Or eat it like candy right out of the box. However you eat it, it's always good. So ask Mom to get genuine post-Sugar Crisp in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on it.
He had a blue and white checkered bandana pulled up over his face.
He stuck his guns right under my nose. What could I do but give him the money bags?
Are you sure it was Brian Stratton?
How could we miss that yellow car, Dale? He pulled away from the curb like it was jet-propelled.
All right, well, which way did he drive?
I ran out after him, and he whizzed around the corner and headed down Camelback Road.
Okay, Dale, I think we can cut him off. We won't wait for the sheriff and his posse.
Cool there, Trigger Boy.
Hot buttermilk. Faster. Faster, boy.
We'll hit the top in a second out, Dale. If Brian stayed on the road, we'll spot him.
There's the car, Roy. He's coming fast.
Trigger and I'll angle down and cut him off. Follow us.
Go, Trigger.
We're lucky we know this country, Trigger. He won't get away from us. Yep, he's got a blue and white kerchief over his face, all right.
Hey, Brian, stop!
Kid's shooting at us. He's desperate. We'll have to stop him. There, I got his tire.
Hang on to that wheel, kid. Hang on.
Well, you made it. Don't shoot again, Brian. I won't hurt you.
Roy, there he goes. He's running for it.
Well, he won't get very far.
Let's go, Trigger.
You were foolish to run for it, Brian. Someone was bound to catch up with you sooner or later. Let's get that mask off. Joe Linder.
Let go, Rogers. Don't touch me.
Trying to frame a couple of innocent kids.
What are you talking about?
Roy, come here quick.
Be right there, Dale. Come on, Linder.
Not so rough, Rogers.
You haven't seen anything yet. Now, march.
Roy, Brian's on the floor of the car here, bound and gagged.
Here's the real criminal, Dale. Joe Linder. Get the ropes off the youngster.
Rogers, give me a chance to get away. You can have the money. It's all in the car.
That's all I want to hear, Linder. Now, you can listen to this. There.
Brian, are you all right?
Yeah, I guess so. Somebody hit me over the head, and that was the last thing I knew.
I'm sorry I sort of doubted your story about the neckerchief, Brian. Linder stole them out of your car.
Yeah, but what happened?
There was a bank robbery, Brian, and you almost got blamed for it.
Well, the posse got here in a hurry. Sheriff's going to have quite a surprise.
Roy, Pat and Ted are riding with him.
Good. I'm glad Ted's here.
Roy, have you got him? We heard Brian Stratton robbed the bank and...
Brian didn't have anything to do with it, Sheriff. Any more than Ted had anything to do with the robbery at Terminal. There's the real culprit.
It's Joe Linder, my deputy.
What's that? Now, that's the man. He'll talk when he wakes up.
You mean he's the crime wave?
He's it. I guess he took this deputy job thinking he could get away with anything in Mineral City if he was hiding behind a star.
And when Brian and Ted got into that scuffle in the restaurant a few weeks ago, he saw a chance to use both of them to protect himself even further.
Well, that's the last time I'll hire a mail order deputy. I never would have believed it.
And I never would have believed Ted was guilty of anything.
Roy, you mean I'm cleared?
You bet you are, and so is Brian. Now, I wonder if you kids would do me a favor.
Sure, Roy.
Yeah, of course. What is it?
Shake hands, and don't come out fighting.
Cool as a pool. Put her there, cowboy.
Neat as a beat. Shake, partner.
This year, even more calls for help from your neighbors, your community, and all America make it necessary for the Red Cross to expand its services. This year, the Red Cross needs $93 million to do its job. Answer the Red Cross call for humanity. Contribute generously this year.
That's all for now, folks. This is Roy Rogers saying to all of you from all of us, goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you. See you next week.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
The Roy Rogers Show was brought to you tonight by Post Sugar Crisp, the cereal treat that's fun to eat. Fellas and girls, remember Roy's good advice and ask Mom to bring home Post Sugar Crisp in the red, white, and blue package with the three bears on the front. You'll love Post Sugar Crisp. The Roy Rogers Show can be heard again next week at this same time with Pat Brady, Dale Evans, and the King of the Cowboys himself, Roy Rogers. An Art Brush production written and directed by Fran Van Hartesfeld with music by Milton Charles.
Come and get it! Come and get it! For quick 2-minute energy for work and play, how about Grape Nuts Flakes?
How about them? How about them? How about those Grape Nuts Flakes?
How about those Grape Nuts Flakes?
How about them? How about them?
How about those Grape Nuts Flakes? They are so good, good for you too. The 2-minute energy works for you. So how about them? How about them? How about Grape Nuts Flakes?
Grape Nuts Flakes is one of the triple wrapped post cereals. Guaranteed fresh or triple your money back. Look for Grape Nuts Flakes, the great 2-minute energy cereal, in the package with Roy Rogers and Trigger on the front.
Featured in our cast were Frank Hemingway, Herb Butterfield, Marvin Bryan, Johnny McGovern, Michael Miller, and Stan Farrar. The script was based on a story by Nate Kaplan. This is Art Ballinger speaking for Post Sugar Crisp. Stay tuned for the latest news brought to you by Log Cabin Syrup.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
From the ranch out west, we go to New York City, to the 21st Precinct Police Station, for the story of the abandoned baby as broadcast on June 28th, 1956.
21st Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Who's missing? Is that your wife? How do you spell that? D-E or G-E? Where is it you live? Where?
You are, by transcription, in the muster room at the 21st Precinct, the nerve center. A call is coming through. You will follow the action taken pursuant to that call from this minute until the final report is written in the 124 room at the 21st Precinct.
All right, I'll tell you what you do. You better come into the station house and talk to the detectives. That's right. Come right on in here.
Twenty-first Precinct. It's just lines on the map of the city of New York. Most of the 173,000 people wedged into the 0.9 square mile between Fifth Avenue and the East River wouldn't know if you asked them that they lived or worked in the 21st. Whether or not they know it, the security of their homes, their persons, and their property is the job of the men of the 21st Precinct.
The 21st. 160 patrolmen, 11 sergeants, and 4 lieutenants, of whom I'm the boss. My name is Cronin, Vincent P. Cronin. I'm captain in command of the 21st Precinct. I was doing night duty, 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. After I turned out the platoon, I read and signed reports and communications that had accumulated since I was last on duty. At 5:50, I walked out of my office into the muster room where Lieutenant Gorman was desk officer and Sergeant Waters was on telephone switchboard duty.
21st Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Hello, Captain.
Sergeant?
You'd have to ring in to ask me that.
Red? I'll go on patrol now, Red.
Yes, sir.
These rooks ring in every time they want to take a deep breath.
Didn't you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir, I guess I did.
Have a car come by the house for me. I'm going out on patrol.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Step right up here to the desk, mister.
I'd like to get a little information.
Yes, sir. What?
Well, it's a long story.
Okay.
I'd just like to know what to do about it.
And do about what?
You see, about 6-8 weeks ago, on the 26th of April, to be exact, I come home from work, and my wife was in the living room, and she had company. Another woman, a girl about 20, 21. I didn't know who she was, so there were introductions all around. My wife said she was Mrs. Lois Natick. Anyway, this Mrs. Natick had a baby with her, a baby boy, about 9 months. His name is Richie, the baby.
So?
Well, so I sit there wondering when supper's going to go on the table and what this Mrs. Natick is doing there. And then Cora, that's my wife, she springs it on me. Mm-hmm. We're taking in a paying guest, she says, the baby. Well, it hits me right between the eyes, but
I'm polite about the whole thing. I take Cora in the kitchen. I ask her, what's this all about? Are you going nuts or something? So she gives me a long song and dance about how another lady she met in the delicatessen told her about Mrs. Natick was looking for some place to board the baby for a couple of months. Cora's dying to have the kid in the house. She won't take no for an answer. So to make a long story short, we took in a baby.
Well, what do you want us to do about it?
Oh, well, I'm not asking you to do anything about it. All I'm asking for is a little information.
Did Mrs. Natick pay anything?
Well, that's just the point. You see, my wife made an agreement that we'd board this baby for $12.50 a week.
Mm-hmm.
So when she left the kid with us, she gave us $37.50 to cover the first 3 weeks. She said she'd either come by the house or send us the money before the 3 weeks were up.
How much has she sent you since?
Nothing. Not one lousy cent. That's what I'm so burned up about. We got the kid, we haven't heard a word from her, not a single word.
I see.
So what I'd like to know is, what am I supposed to do?
What's your name?
Me?
Yeah.
Frood, Harry Frood.
How do you spell that?
F-R-O-U-D-E.
F-R-O-U-D-E. Where do you live?
502 York Avenue. Listen, are you the captain here?
Yeah, that's right. I'm Captain Cronin.
Well, I'm glad to know you.
Glad to know you.
Well, is there something that can be done? I mean, where do I go? Who do I see?
There might be something that can be done, Mr. Frood. This child or the mother is not related either to you or your wife.
Related? I never saw either one of them before in my life. I saw the woman just that once in my living room when I come home from work.
Oh, where do you work, Mr. Frood?
Downtown Lafayette Street. I'm an order filler. You know, a stock clerk in one of those electrical supply houses. Donowitz Brothers.
Mm, you been there long?
Oh, a couple of years. That's all the Donowitz Brothers been in business. But I've been down there on the street, oh, 18, 20 years, working for one company or another.
This woman, the mother...
Mrs. Natick.
Lois Natick,
yeah.
Yeah. She agreed to pay you $12.50 a week to board the child.
That's right, $12.50 a week. I told my wife, I told her, you know, Cora, $12.50 a week to take in a kid is nothing today. No, nothing. I mean, it'll cost more than just that expenses out of the pocketbook. But she's got to have the kid. Got to have him. I couldn't even reason with it.
How long have you been married, Mr. Frood?
16 years.
Any children of your own?
No, we got no children. Not that we didn't want any. I mean, her especially. It was just one of those things where it worked out. There was no children.
Now, what did Mrs. Natick tell your wife?
What do you mean?
I mean, why did she say she had to board the baby in a foster home?
Oh, well, she said that she had a chance of a pretty good job in one of those airplane factories out in Long Island. She said she wanted to take the job, but that she couldn't do that and take care of the kid, too. So she wanted to take the job so she could save up some money.
Did she give you the address where she lived out in Long Island?
She said she sent it when she got settled.
Did she send?
Yeah, like she sent the $12.50 a week.
Did this Mrs. Natick live with her husband?
Look, I don't even know that she had one. I mean, I asked the people in the building where she was staying there. They never saw any husband around.
She leave any forwarding address with the people at the building?
Nothing. She just left.
And she owes you approximately 4 weeks' board?
Approximately, yeah, just about.
All right, Mr. Frood, you and your wife bring the child into the station house. If what you told us can be substantiated...
Oh, it could be substantiated, all right.
Then the mother's guilty of abandonment. You make the complaint here, and we'll see the child is taken care of. I'll be in my office, Lieutenant.
Thanks, Captain. Thanks a lot. Oh, listen, Captain.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I just wanted you to know that I got nothing against this little fellow, you know. I mean, he's all right, see? But I just hate being made a chump out of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, I understand.
I mean, it's just a rotten, lousy thing for that mother to do, and I'm not going to be the sucker in this deal.
How does your wife feel about it?
Well, look, it don't make any difference how she feels about it. I'm the guy that's paying the bills, and I got enough to pay with $63.34 a week take-home pay without worrying about somebody else's obligations.
All right, Mr. Frood, you and your wife come into the station house with the child. We'll get it all straightened out.
Okay, I'll go home right now and get him.
You can wait until tomorrow if the baby's asleep. You've had him this long, another night won't make any difference.
To you, I know it don't make any difference, Captain. To me, it's plenty of difference.
A few minutes after Harry Frood left the station house, Sector Car Number 3 came by to take me on patrol of the precinct. I had my operator, Patrolman Mercado, drive to several of the parks and playgrounds in the city to check on reports that youths, in unduly large numbers, had been congregating in the early evening hours and causing disturbances. Before returning to the station house, we made a swing to the south end of the precinct by way of York Avenue.
Oh, what's the trouble, Mr. Frood? Captain, she's gone. My wife.
Hmm?
She's gone and she took the kid with her.
Now, when did she leave?
I don't know. I thought it was all settled. You know, we were going to bring the kid in here tomorrow. I went to bed. You know, I got to get up early to go to work. Cook Cora said she'd go in the kitchen and make the sandwiches for my lunch. Yeah, I've been taking my lunch the last couple of years. I mean, it gets so you can't buy a decent lunch anymore for less than a buck.
Yeah.
So she makes the sandwiches at night, and then she puts them in the icebox, you know, so it isn't such a rush in the morning with the baby and everything.
She left after you fell asleep?
That's right. She just took the baby and left.
Any idea where she went?
No, I don't have any idea at all.
When did you discover she was gone?
Well, gee, I don't know. I'm usually a sound sleeper, you know, very sound. I guess I just felt something was wrong. I woke up and she wasn't in the bed. So I went out in the living room. I went into the kid's room. She wasn't there.
Did she have any relatives she could have gone to?
That's the funny part of it, Captain. Not a soul. A sister in Boston. That's all the relatives she's got.
What about friends?
Oh, well, it was so late. I didn't feel like calling anybody.
Is there anybody in the building she could have gone to?
No. No.
How about a hotel?
Oh, I don't think so. She didn't take any money.
Huh? Nothing?
Well, I mean, payday is tomorrow. She didn't have only a couple of dollars left. She left a couple of dollars right on the dresser. She took it out of her pocketbook and left it right on the dresser. Captain, I don't think she took a cent with her. Not a cent. That's what worries me.
You're positive she didn't go to some friend?
Can't be positive, but I don't think so.
Well, you ought to check some of your friends in the neighborhood.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that, Captain. I've been in enough trouble tonight. It's late. They all got to get up early in the morning, everybody. Wouldn't want to wake any of them up.
If she didn't have any money with her, Mr. Froude, that's where you're going to find her, I think. Mr. Froude finally took my suggestion and went home to bed. In the meantime, we notified the detectives, CB, and the Missing Persons Bureau. As patrolmen on post and inspector cars in the 21st rang in, the sergeant on TS gave each of them a description and told them to be on the lookout for the woman and the child. In the meantime, the first deputy commissioner visited the precinct. As the ranking officer on duty in the 6th Division during the night, he asked me to accompany him on his visits to the other precincts in the division. While I was on this tour with the deputy police commissioner, Sector Car Number 3 responded to a radio call to meet the subway station agent in the 68th Street station of the Lexington Avenue local.
There he is, in the booth.
Did you call the station house?
Yeah, wait a minute. I'll be right out.
Okay, what's the trouble?
Over here. Two passengers called into my attention. They're going to. And I've been watching her.
Thanks.
As far as I know, she's been sitting there a couple of hours.
Over there. On the bench. Woman with the baby.
She's just been sitting there.
Yeah. Okay, you can go on back if you want. We'll handle it.
Oh, good, thanks. It seems awful funny.
Yeah. I'll see you.
What was the name of the woman? The woman with the baby?
Froude.
Yeah, Froude.
That could be her.
Excuse me, ma'am.
She's asleep. He woke up when an express passed a little while ago. I had a hard time getting him to go back.
The station agent says you've been sitting here for a couple hours.
Did he?
That's what he told us. Where are you going?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to make up my mind.
It was kind of late to be out with a baby, isn't it?
He's all right. I take good care of him. Oh, I hope this train doesn't wake him up. They make an awful lot of noise.
Well, this isn't a nursery. It's a subway station.
Yes. Guess it isn't their fault.
Are you Mrs. Froude?
What?
Are you Mrs. Froude?
Yes, I'm Mrs. Froude.
We've been looking for you.
Oh, I guess Harry woke up and saw I was gone.
I guess he did.
Well, I don't want to give Richie up. I can't give him up. I've wanted him so long. So long. You haven't any idea how long.
We better go into the station house and talk about it, Mrs. Froude.
Well, do we have to?
Yes, we'd better.
I'm not going to give him up. Look, he even smiles when he sleeps. You've never seen such a happy baby. He's so happy.
Yes, ma'am.
He won't be happy if they take him away from me. Nobody will be happy. Nobody.
Come on, Mrs. Froude.
All right. So funny. Everything's so funny. He's hers and she doesn't want him. I want him and I can't have him. So funny.
The two officers took Mrs. Froude and the child upstairs to their car and drove them to the station house. I had just returned from my tour of the division with the first deputy commissioner. I asked Mrs. Froude to wait in my office. Then I instructed the desk officer to notify Mr. Froude that his wife was at the station house. After a few minutes, I walked toward my office. Through the open door, I could see her holding a sleeping child tightly in her arms. She looked down at him fondly. "We notified your husband, Mrs. Froude?"
"Oh, I didn't want you to do that. You didn't have to bother him."
"I see it was done as a matter of course. He told us that you were missing."
"Oh, was he coming?"
"I sent an officer around to tell him you were here."
"Hmm. I think he really likes Richie. I don't understand him. I'll be out or in the kitchen or someplace, and I'll come in and find him playing with the baby, and he jumps away like he was caught stealing something. I don't understand him."
"He told me the mother's making a sucker out of him."
"Yes, he told me that too, but maybe it's not her fault. I don't see how anybody could help caring about Richie. Maybe she's sick or something. Could happen, couldn't it? Couldn't that be why she didn't send the money?"
"We'll find out. The detectives will start checking into it."
"Do they have to take him away from me? Can't I keep him till they find out something?"
"According to the law, Mrs. Froude, when a parent has agreed to pay for a child in a foster home and goes away without leaving an ascertainable address or continuing to arrange for board, the child is considered abandoned."
"I haven't abandoned him. I want him."
"Yeah, but he's not yours. It's up to the Department of Welfare to provide shelter for him."
"Can't I keep him? Isn't there any way?"
"There probably is, if you can get your husband to agree to seek adoption."
"Harry? Oh, not the way Harry feels. He wouldn't agree to anything."
"Well, he likes the boy. You said that yourself, and he told me he did."
"Yes, I know, but he's so sore at Mrs. Natick. He's so sore he takes it out on Richie and on me. Oh, excuse me. I thought he was stirring. Look, like a log. He's really a good baby. So happy."
"Babies usually are."
"How far down you want to go, Captain?"
"No, take a swing around 57th.
That's it.
Over to Lexington, back up to the house."
"Yes, sir." "There's car number one in the next block."
"Yeah.
Must be on a job."
"Pull up behind him, McCarter."
"Yes, sir."
"Let's see what it is."
"Doesn't look like much, Captain. Wasn't anything on the air."
"Come on."
"Yes, sir." "That must be it. 502. There's Zeisman coming out."
"Zeisman?"
"Oh, hello, Captain."
"What have we got?"
"Oh, nothing much, Skipper. When we rang in, the sergeant told us to take a turn by here. Neighbor called in that a couple was scrapping. Family fight. Neighbor thought he was beating her up. Something about a baby."
"What's the name of the couple?"
"Froude, Captain. Mr. and Mrs. Harry Froude."
"Oh, what floor are they on?"
Second floor front, Captain. But it's all settled. They quieted down."
"Yeah, I know them. I want to talk to them."
"Oh.
Get back on the job, Eisman."
"Yes, sir."
"Mercado."
"Yes, sir."
"You wait down here."
"Yes, sir." "Yeah, who is it?"
"Captain Cronin."
"Who?"
"Captain Cronin, the 21st Precinct."
"Oh. All right.
There's no trouble, Captain. Everything's fixed up. You didn't have to come."
"No, no, I was just passing by."
"Oh.
Is this Mrs. Froude?"
Yeah, it's Mrs. Froude." "Okay, come on in, Captain."
"Thank you."
"It's the first time, believe me, the first time since we're married that we fought like that. Arguments, sure, but not fights like this. Cora? Cora, this is Captain Cronin. He's the captain I spoke to at the police station."
"How do you do, Mrs. Froude?"
"How do you do? I'm sorry. It was my fault. I screamed. It was me. Harry tried to keep me quiet."
"Yeah, well, it's all over now."
"He said you told him to bring me and the baby to the police station. Is that right?"
"If the baby's been abandoned, yes."
"Well, I'm taking care of him. I'm taking good care of him."
"Cora, we've been through that. Now, we've been through that time and time
but
again."
"It's true."
"Hey, Captain, would you like a nice cold can of beer? I got so many ice bars."
No, thanks."
"We couldn't keep him? Isn't there any way?"
"How many times have I got to say it? I'm not going to be the chump in this deal, Cora. Not me."
"Shh, you'll wake him up."
"He didn't wake up from what went on before. He ain't going to wake up now."
"Would you like to see him, Captain?"
"Cora."
"He's such a fine boy."
No, don't wake him up, Mrs.
"No, we won't wake him. This way. Now, you stay here, Harry."
"Don't worry."
Did you ever see such a butterball? I love him. You don't know how I love him. How many children do you have, Captain?
Two.
Two? Mm. My. Shh. Yeah. Two is a nice family. Everybody except me. I always wondered why everybody except me.
Oh, now, don't ask foolish questions.
Harry says we have to bring him to the police station tomorrow. What will you do?
We'll try to find the mother and place charges of abandonment against her.
What about him, Richie?
The New York Family Home. It's a very nice institution.
Oh, no, no.
He's not your responsibility, Mrs. Froude, if the mother abandoned him.
Well, just because the mother abandoned him, is that a reason for me to abandon him?
Cora, we've been through all that now. We've been all through it so much the neighbors had to call the police. Now, please.
Harry, give me some light.
Look, the answer is, has been, and always will be, no. No, no. That day made a monkey out
of us. I'm not thinking of her. I'm thinking of him.
He's got nothing to do with it. And she's not going to get away with it. That kid gets turned over tomorrow.
Harry!
Hey, now, folks, come on. Let's settle down.
It's settled down, Captain, and it's settled. Tomorrow, bright and early.
You're listening to 21st Precinct, a factual account of the way police work in the world's greatest city. What was the Old West really like? Were the men who won it really all cardboard heroes with strong jaws, loyal horses, and little sense? Were the bad men all mustache twirlers who spent their spare time kicking dogs and little children? If that stereotype picture seems a little ridiculous to you, join Marshal Matt Dillon, upholder of the law in Dodge City, for an authentic and revealing story of the Old West on Gunsmoke every Saturday. It's surefire entertainment. And now back to 21st Precinct and Captain Cronin.
It was settled. The husband made the decision. The wife had apparently resigned herself to it. She sat on the couch and stared down at the floor. I said goodnight to each of them and left. When I returned to the station house and walked up the front steps into the muster room, a wildly gesticulating man was standing in front of the desk trying to make himself understood.
Fíjate que íbamos a andar, ¿eh?
Yo pues ahí, como no, como no, pues anduvimos.
Wait a minute. No comprendo.
Sí.
Hable despacio. Repetal.
Oh, sí, sí, sí.
Despacio,
trying
to find out, Captain.
Dijo, just walked in. Dije que
ellos... Hold it.
Long time since high school Spanish, Captain.
Yeah. Sergeant, did you call upstairs to the detective? Hernandez on the job tonight?
Yes, he's working, but he's out on patrol.
They're
trying to locate him.
I think he's trying to tell me he was robbed. ¿Cómo se llama usted?
Ubeda. Fernando. Chusico Ubeda. Pues ella y su amigo me robaron. Pues él tenía un cuchillo. Un cuchillo y me robaron. De todo mi dinero. Just a second, pare. Sí, sí, sí. Tenga la bondad de hablar despacio.
Oh, despacio? Pues sí, 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 pues.
Muestro sus papers, papales.
Oh, sí, sí, los papeles. Aquí tengo.
Well, he's got a lot more practice than I have.
Mire, aquí.
He's going to show you his wallet.
Soy navegador. Mi barco está en Hoboken. Me robaron. ¡Qué canato! Con un cuchillo me robaron.
Wait a minute, pare.
Sí, 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 pare.
I think he's a merchant seaman. I think that's what this card says. ¿Cuál es su nacionalidad?
¿Nacionalidad?
Sí.
¿Sudamericano? ¿Argentino?
It's in the Argentine.
Excuse me.
This is your father. ¿Cuál es su book, ship, bouquet?
Oh, el buque. Mi barco es la Recalde.
Ask him if he's hurt.
Yes, sir. ¿Está usted herido?
Pues sí, por supuesto, pues sí. Me dieron un golpe en la espalda aquí. Aquí un golpe con un palo.
All right, hold it.
Sí.
Yeah. Located Detective Fernandez. He's on his way in here.
Oh, that's good. Quiero mi dinero, ¿eh? No tengo ni un real.
Pare. Espere un momento. Wait a minute. A detective quiere hacerle algunas preguntas.
Oh, preguntas?
Pronto.
Sí.
Captain, are you busy? Can I see you a minute?
Oh, Mr. Fred.
It's very important, Captain.
Yeah, all right, Mr. Fred. I'll be in my office, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Come on to my office, Mr. Fred.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, right in. Thanks. If the person taking care of them is happy doing it.
Yes. I know I'm happy. I've been married all these years, and I've never been so happy. That's what I think may be the matter with Harry is. I think he's jealous. Imagine. Jealous of a little thing like this.
Come in. Come in, Mr. Fruit.
Thanks. Should I close the door?
Yes, please.
Hello, Cora.
Harry?
Why'd you have to run off like that, Cora? You scared me half to death, half to death.
I'm sorry, Harry.
Sorry? Well, you should be sorry.
Shh, you'll wake him.
You see, Captain, you see? That's all I get. You'll wake the baby. Don't play the television. Don't smoke my pipe. It's bad for him. We can't go to the movies. There's nobody to leave him with. Out of the $12.50 a week we didn't get, we have to pay for sitters.
Harry.
Yet. My age, I have to have an infant around. At my age, I don't need it. All I need is a little peace and quiet. Nobody thinks about me anymore.
All right, Harry. I'm going to give him back. The welfare department does something with him. You'll have your peace and quiet. You want to take him now, Captain?
Well, look, it's late now, Cora. Let's go home with him. You got all his things in. We'll make arrangements in the morning.
No, I can't take him home. I want to leave him right here and right now. I can do that, can't I?
I'll have to get a policewoman up here, take him to the New York Foundling Home.
Look, Cora, now, don't be stubborn. I mean, do we have to lose a whole night's sleep? I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. Let's go home. You'll get the whole thing straightened out tomorrow.
I'm not taking this baby in my house again. Not unless I take him there to stay. I'm not. You got your way, didn't you? What else do you want from me? You could at least try to make it a little easy on me. Harry, I'm ashamed of you. You don't know what you put me through. You big ape, you. You don't realize how much I love you to do this for you, to give the baby up for you.
Cora, honey, cut it out.
I won't cut it out. You haven't got a brain in your head, not one brain.
I guess maybe I haven't. Maybe you're right, Cora. Captain, I guess I'm a louse.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know I am. Captain, I want to admit to you right here and now that Mrs. Natticat has sent me $12.50 every week to the place where I work, every week.
Oh, that's so.
Harry, you're not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. The baby is paid up to date. Paid up.
Well, what did you do with the money?
Oh, well, I gotta admit it, Cora. I spent it. I spent every last cent. Playing the ponies. Every last cent I spent. But she's been right on the button with every Monday morning in the mail with the money, with the $12.50 cash. In a plain envelope.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where were they postmarked from?
Well, from all over. She was traveling.
Can we keep him now? Can we?
If the board bill is paid up, the baby hasn't been abandoned.
Why, that's wonderful, Harry. That's just wonderful. You spent that money on the horses?
Yep.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Baby's money on the horses.
How are you going to win, Captain? You just can't win.
Well, at least there's one thing in a marriage, Harry. You can't do any worse than come in second.
Go on. I'll catch up with it.
21st Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Who shot? Who? Well, where? All right, take it easy. Talk slower so I can understand.
And so it goes. Around the clock, through the week, every day, every year. The police precinct in the city of New York is a flesh-and-blood merry-go-round. Anyone can catch the brass ring, or the brass ring can catch anyone.
21st Precinct, transcribed, a factual account of the way police work in the world's largest city, is presented with the official cooperation of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, an organization of more than 20,000 members of the Police Department, City of New York. James Gregory, in the role of Captain Cronin, Harold Stone as Sergeant Waters, and featured in tonight's cast were Santos Ortega, Ralph Camargo, Bill Quinn, George Petrie, Mandel Kramer, and Elspeth Eric. 21st Precinct is written, produced, and directed by Stanley Niss. Bill Martin speaking. Here, there, and everywhere, election excitement is sparked, and you're likely to run into the CBS News campaign cavalcade, the special 12-man unit set up to follow every important pre-election and election story as it develops, no matter where it develops. Through many news programs throughout the day, the campaign cavalcade will keep in touch with you. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.